Welcome to the Pethuel Project, a podcast that explores the library of scripture, person of Jesus, and how they apply to our lives. My name is Joel, and I'll be your host as we go through a series of audio reflections. My prayer is that you would understand and meet the person of Jesus in a real and tangible way. Hello, and welcome back to the Pethuel Project. I'm very excited about today's episode because we're talking about masculinity. What does it mean to be a man? And I'm sad to say that in today's culture, it seems that this has been quite a divisive and controversial issue. So I pray that today's episode will be informative and that we can look at what the Bible has to say about men. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, he says this, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." I want to focus on that phrase, act like men. What does Paul mean here? The Greek word translated act like men could actually be, or it's elsewhere translated as be courageous, but the word is aterzeme, and it occurs only once here in the New Testament. But if we look at other sources, other ancient Greek texts where this word is used, it could suggest being translated as bravery or courage. So what does that mean for masculinity? Does it mean that masculinity is synonymous with bravery and courage? Well, I want to look at that. We have, I would say in the West, a crisis of prolonged adolescence. En masse, boys remain boys well into the time when a transition into manhood should have taken place. But why? Why is this prolonged state of boyhood happening? Well, in one sense, the West, in my opinion, has no cultural markers or rites of passage. Any broad anthropological study will show that other cultures have regularly had a rite of passage where a boy was officially considered a man. One of the oddest, in my opinion, is the Vantula land diving, where boys as young as 5 will, with their community, build and climb this massive tower and they'll bungee jump off. After this, they're circumcised and then considered by the community a man. A more common practice and tradition would be the Jewish bar mitzvah, where a boy is celebrated by the community and after considered a man. The list of these go on and on. There's hundreds, and a quick Google search will affirm this. And they're, you know, ranging from reasonable to insane. But my point is that we're lacking this clear marker of external validation necessary for male maturity. In America, according to research done by the Journal of Adolescence, children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school and 20 times more likely to live end up in prison. Without the affirmation children seek from a father, they seek affirmation from their peer group. We are created to live in and be accepted by a community. When we don't have this community from, first and foremost, our family, the male and female family unit, we seek it from a community. And without a healthy community, and this is why specifically a church community, the ecclesia, the called out people are so important, so that they can be that community when the family structure or unit falls apart. When we don't have this communal support structure, we seek the affirmation from our peer group. And this affirmation can become dangerous because the popular narrative from our Western culture affirms masculinity in three toxic ways. Our Western culture tells us that we are a man in the categories of the gold, the girls, and the glory. The gold, the glory, and the girls. What I mean by this is that our culture, in reference to gold, it could be argued that our culture says you're a man when you do something like purchase a house. You, get your mortgage approved and you purchase your first piece of real estate. Or perhaps it's having made it big financially. This turns into the endless pursuit of more. And we're never content in our male identity and constantly feeling we're coming short. This pursuit of more, of gold, of financial gain, is actually in itself self-defeating. It's a failing marker that does the exact opposite of affirm our male identity and ends up making us feeling insignificant and not enough. Our culture also tells us that we are a man in the category of girls. Whether that's losing your virginity or having a string of white one-night stands, our culture affirms this. This is perhaps the most toxic of all markers because it does horrific damage to the woman God created and who we as men are called to sacrificially love and protect. The animosity this division causes is one of the greatest tragedies in Western society. And thirdly, the glory. Our culture says we are a man when we have competence and power. Whether this is in sport, work, or any other pursuit, our culture and peer group tells us our performance is directly related to our masculinity. When we fall short in these areas, we become frightened, insecure, defensive, and hostile. Though performance and excellence are good things in and of themselves, they are terrible markers of masculinity. Your job performance or ice time does not indicate your male maturity. In fact, if we put our hope in these markers, they will do the exact opposite of their sought outcome. They will leave us feeling incompetent and insecure, the furthest thing from sure of our manhood. However, there's good news. The biblical worldview affirms the exact opposite. The exact opposite. And this is why it's so important to immerse ourselves in a Christian community that can speak these markers into our lives and affirm our masculinity. Instead of pursuing gold, we're told from the Bible to be sacrificial with our finances. And not just with our finances, but resources in general. And this can include time, intellectual property, spiritual nourishment and discipleship. We're to be generous in all things. When we have the assurance that God is our portion, that Jesus is enough, we are confident to pour out all of our resources, knowing that we are connected to a river that will not run dry. Jesus said in Luke 14:13, he said, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This confidence that we will be repaid, and not just with monetary gain, but in absolute fulfillment of knowing Christ. In regards to girls, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:25-31, he says this, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Here, Paul is brilliantly comparing the way that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And this means sacrificial giving, even to the point of death, laying down your life for the other. And I want to unpack this in a minute further, but before I do, I want to look at a verse from Matthew. This is from Jesus saying, he says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." And here Jesus is referring to the law, the Old Testament. "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already sinned and committed adultery with her in his heart." Even looking with lustful intent. Lord, have mercy. Out of all the creation, the woman is easily the most splendid and magnificent, and we as men are called to protect and operate with integrity and dignity. And this calls for grace. Jesus says that the eye that causes you to stumble, he says, pluck it out. That we are to hold women with such a high reverence and esteem that we would forego our sight before looking with lustful intention. This is so countercultural to the way that the world operates and affirms masculinity. But we are no doubt facing a crisis of masculinity. We no longer know what it means to be a man, and having this reverence for women is essential to it. In regards to glory, glory is perhaps the most dangerous because the Bible is very clear that glory belongs to God alone. When we are to operate in absolute humility. This means being ready to serve, considering others better and more important than ourselves, and also being true to your word. And ultimately, humility is made perfect through the person of Jesus. I love what Paul says in Philippians 2, 1 through 8. He says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is how we are to become men. This humility, this absolute emptying of ourselves. Imagine God, who is infinite, who commands the dawn, who humbles himself to see the stars, who says to the tide, "This far you may come and no further," who creates at the word of his breath, at the word of his command. This God, before all days, he emptied himself and became human, stepped into the human condition and suffered for us. And as men, we are called to imitate this kenosis, this emptying, this sacrificial service, being liberal with our resources, giving to those around us, protecting the woman in our lives, It's so sad that this is a controversial thing to say, but men are actually deeply fulfilled on a profound level when we can sacrifice for our female counterparts. Think of the Titanic. They cried woman and children first. Did you know that of the 466 women on board the Titanic, 339 survived? Of the 843 men on board, only 161 survived, a measly 19%, compared to the 73% of women who made it back safely to shore. Our deepest soul finds a rich reward in this sacrifice. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." That means dying for her. Maybe one day, yes, you will physically have to die for her, but this means dying in the little things too, in counting others as more significant than ourselves, dying in sacrificial service. That means when you come home from work and you're so tired and you just need to give your wife a break. That means playing with the kids or whatever. Whether you're single or married, you know what sacrificial service looks like in your everyday context. Until we get a heart posture that is willing to die for the woman in our lives, there will always be animosity between the sexes. Humility. In a word, that would be what I would describe masculinity. This is a natural flow out of how we should treat the woman in our lives. When we are affirmed in our masculinity by the Christ-centered community around us, we will naturally seek the posture of humble service. As Paul said, count others more significant than yourself. May we today in 2021 as men lead the charge and act like men.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Pethwill Project. If you like what you heard, feel free to give us a rating, or even better, share this with one of your friends. For more information, check out our website at pethwillproject.com or follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Pethwill Project.